Here he is, Bob Stern.
Ah, yes, it's your monthly look at the great state of Texas. And we're several into this series, and we have yet to touch the sports plate. I have two sports, that's what I like about Texas episodes, in the hoppa. This is the first one. Now, before we dive into it, I'm going to ask that you allow me this one time to tell you a story that might get the roll of the eyes because of the timing. Because this is a Texas A&M story.
It's not going to get an eye roll from me.
Okay. Everybody cool? We all on the same page here? Danny?
You might get a Brooksy-esque eye roll from me, but, you know.
I've never heard this story.
Don't let that stop you.
And it's not the 12th man story that we've all heard. Does anybody want to tell the quick 12th man story?
No.
The quick E. King Gill story?
Yeah, from the early 1900s.
From like 1920 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Do you know the story?
I know that it's either he literally came out of the crowd or something to that effect.
So the Aggies were getting a bunch of players hurt, and apparently there was some distress, if this is all true, that they were running out of players. We may not be able to finish this game. And one of the members of the student body could be the core. In fact, maybe the whole school was the core back then. I'm not even sure. But somebody showed up and told the coach, I'm here if you need me, and he was in a full uniform. And there's a statue outside Kyle Field, and that guy's name was E. King Gill.
You believe this?
No, it's true. It's true.
Yeah, I think it's true.
Is there video?
It's probably
HD, actually.
It's probably 4K. But that's the only 12th man story I knew all the way up to present day, where you see a guy wearing number 12, and he runs out and covers kicks. In fact, I think one of the 12th men a couple years ago was actually a fullback.
Yeah.
That Gillespie, and he scored a touchdown in his final game, and that was big news. I think he might have blocked a punt. But the 12th man was a callback to 100 years ago, and it was one guy representing the student body will take the field and cover kicks. And I did not know the Jackie Sherrill thread of this story. Did you?
See.
This is wild.
First off, Jackie Sherrill in the era of Jackie Sherrill is one of the most overlooked eras in Texas football. And not, okay, not like the state of Texas, not Texas A&M, just the state overall. The entirety of it is insane.
Okay, so A&M was awful between, I think, their last Southwest Conference championship in the mid-60s, maybe 1967, and 1982. They basically, almost like the Jimbo thing, got sick and tired of being sick and tired and said, we're going to get a big-time coach. They had it down to two guys, Bo Schembechler from Michigan and Jackie Sherrill from Pitt. Bo Schembechler was their guy, but at the last second, he turned down the King's Ransom they were offering. They were offering the biggest contract in college football, if this sounds familiar.
It's a million, I believe.
I don't know the exact terms. I'll take your word for it. Jackie Sherrill was their second choice, took the job. In fact, I believe his introductory press conference and even said, you know, sometimes you marry your second choice and it turns out really well. And everybody laughed and looked at his wife and said, I hope he wasn't talking about you. Anyway, Bo Schembechler turned him down. Stu Cedar was able to get to him at the last second and keep him there. And so Sherrill got the largest contract in college football history at the time to come coach the Fighting Texas Aggies. In 1982, they had a very poor year, or a losing record, disappointing, like this is what we paid for. So he felt he had to shake things up. This is crazy to me. I had never heard this story. At the end of the 82 season, he had somebody from the Aggie Corps reach out to him and ask, do you want to be the coach at A&M or do you want to be an actual Aggie coach? Because if you want to be an actual Aggie coach, follow me. And he took him to Bonfire. Took him to the Bonfire Stack. And apparently this resonated with Jackie Sherrill, and maybe he had no idea what he was getting into. But by the end of his experience, he was telling those guys, I bet you some of you guys could come play for me. Somehow he went from that to a month later showing up, and he was at the core cafeteria. And here is a cut from the documentary on the SEC network called No Experience Required, No Experience Necessary. Here it is.
These guys were core mates. These guys were roommates. They had a connection to the student body that none of the football players had. I said, I can find 11 guys that are tough and will do anything to get on the field that could make a kickoff team.
Jackie Sherrill ran an ad talking about his dream of the 12th man kickoff team and ended it with a phrase that became famous on Texas A&M's campus. No experience required.
As the ad ran in the Aggie student newspaper, Coach Sherrill focused his search for players on the Army Corps of Cadets. The cadets are Texas A&M's 2,500 enlisted students who, in addition to running the bonfire, made up the Aggie Band, known for discipline and toughness. On a February night in 1983, he showed up at the cadet dining hall unannounced.
They call the room to attention, which means no other voices, just this voice over the PA system. So we hear this voice, we'd never heard it before, and he goes, hey, I've got a kickoff team, and I'm looking for some guys to go down and cover kickoffs, and I want to get them from this group right here. Place went crazy.
I think it's really good because it's going to be involve the core a lot more. We stand behind the football team 100%.
I was in my senior year in the core. I hadn't played football since my senior year in high school.
Yeah, I never thought that I'd ever have the opportunity to go on a football field in pads ever again. I thought I was done.
I didn't see the field much in high school at all.
No, believe it or not, my primary sport was tennis.
I can't tell you how insane this is. So Jackie Sherrill just won the national title at Pitt? Or what did they... No. Am I mixing that up?
You're thinking of Johnny...
Majors.
Majors, yeah.
Jackie Sherrill just got the biggest contract in college football history. This is not some tiny little gig that nobody is keeping track of.
And he sounds like a minor league baseball stunt.
And he just went and got 11 dudes from the core who all weigh about 180, played Texas high school football, but haven't played since. Or tennis in that one guy's case. He said that because he was the black guy on the kickoff team. Like, it's all little white guys and then one brother, and he said he was a tennis player. Dude, all these guys are tiny. And they're playing for Texas A&M. Meanwhile, Texas A&M has all of these scholarship athletes, a bunch who went on to the NFL, and they're not covering their own kicks. I have all the questions in the world.
So, okay, so this is 3 years or 4 years after Dick Vermeil pulled the stunt in Philadelphia, which became a movie with Vince Papale, where he said, this is the worst bunch of nothing that I've ever seen. And A&M was terrible.
Yeah.
A&M was a terrible, terrible football program at the time. And this was what Vermeil did in Philadelphia was just have open tryouts in the city. See if we can find a guy. Maybe a guy to cover kick,
so
block
like
a punt.
Ah, 12th man.
Yes, yes. One guy. And the way I remember it is that he was inspired by that story.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it was fresh on everybody's mind. It was a big story back then that they had this tryout in Philadelphia. And so what better way to get school spirit up? And I think this was the stunt.
Well,
this
was it absolutely was. Yes, stunt. Yes. There was a big disconnect at A&M between the players and the student body. Like, the student body wanted you to win more than the players did and blah, blah, blah.
Well, it was also known, the core was also known, they were the butt of every joke, of the Aggie joke that we talked about.
No, we'll get to Aggie joke here in a moment.
Okay, but this was a way to make them seem legit.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant. I mean, I remember this as a sixth grader.
Dude, This is so crazy. So they had to go practice for, well, first of all, 300 people tried out to be on the special teams. They kept knocking it down to 125 and then down to 75 and 50 and 30. And finally they ended up with, I think, 16 dudes. Now they could only play home games, which makes it even crazier because you actually did have scholarship guys covering kicks on road games.
Yeah.
Makes no sense. Then they had to go to practice and they had to stand up against the scholarship guys and they were all offended that you have dudes from the student body playing football against us, 100 pounds lighter in just about every case. They're all slow. They, you know, again, these dudes are not football players. So they play their first game against Cal. You know what? I want to play this one too for you real fast.
You know, I wasn't supposed to be there. I was undersized, slow, and I'm playing with some of the best athletes ever come through Texas. So, yeah, I questioned myself, but I was also hell-bent and determined to be on this football team.
All I can say is that the other teams don't know what's coming at them. We're a bunch of crazy Aggies, and we're going to be running down that field trying to eat everything that gets in our way.
I just remember how motivated I was and how excited I was. You're not allowed on Kyle Field unless you're players because it's considered to be sacred ground. And here we were getting to be on Kyle Field.
Now, they still thought all the way up through the first game, I wasn't going to do it.
So Jackie Sherrill is having trouble convincing people he's serious about this. So now they open 83 against Cal. And this is one of the big stories is they hear the Cal Golden Bears who just had the Cal Stanford game to end the last season. Their kickoff is going to be against these 11 dudes out of the student body. And so they called an onside kick to open the season. Like Cal is ready, we're going to run this back to the... They recovered it, but it didn't go 10 yards. And so now they really have to kick off, and Cal beat them that night. But I could not believe what would happen over the course of the next several years. First of all, they were top five in covering kicks over the next seven seasons. They went 177 kickoffs without allowing a touchdown.
That is absolutely bonkers.
Then, of course, by 85, Kevin Murray and the Aggies are winning the Southwest Conference three straight years. And they're going to the Cotton Bowl three straight years. And they're winning 10 games, I think, three straight years. Maybe 10, 9, and 10, if I recall. But it culminated with Eric Metcalf at Texas coming into Kyle Field and trying to score on the student body. They weren't going to allow a touchdown. Now, there were some bigger returns, but this is why I asked you a couple of months ago about Tim Brown and the towel.
Yeah.
Because this was in the Cotton Bowl where they're trying to steal the towel from Tim Brown, and they actually did, and then Tim Brown got up and ran after it and tackled him, and Brent's like, what got into Tim Brown?
Tim Brown won the Heisman that year.
Yes.
And he's a month or 3 weeks removed from collecting the trophy, and he's the biggest thing in college football, and these dudes are trying to steal his towel.
Yeah.
Every single, because he had the towel that draped over his crotch and yeah, that was
his deal.
And
he talked about, that's my swag.
Yes.
And so they're all excited because we're going to get this towel, and he's wrapping it up so they can't get it.
Right.
And they ran away with the towel. And I do need to wrap it up, but they beat Notre Dame that day 35-10. And yes, Musburger did mention that day about Aggie jokes. I thought you would like it.
You know, when I came down here for the Cotton Bowl 3 years ago, all I heard was Aggie jokes. Folks, I think the joke's on us. This is a pretty good football team.
And they beat Notre Dame that day. Now, the postscript, of course, is that Jackie Sherrill got the program in trouble.
Yeah.
And did he get dismissed or did he resign? I think he resigned.
Respectfully, I think he would have been fired if he hadn't resigned.
Yes, but he quit after 88. So they were Southwest Conference champions 85, 86, 87, all the time having the student body. And it wasn't just the core. It was people from the student body also wanting to get in on the fun. So every year they would have tryouts for these kickoff coverage. And top five in kickoff coverage, never gave one up until Texas Tech scored in 1990. Rodney Blackshear ran one back. And that's when R.C. Slocum, the new coach, said,
No more?
Yeah, let's go down to one.
One guy that
man.
Was, yeah.
And
yeah.
His claim was it was too much to have two different kickoff teams, one for home, one for on the road. So we'll just have one. We'll have one 12th man, and that's how it stays to this very day. Football's changing. We need to change with it, said R.C. Slocum.
The amount of Southwest Conference programs that got in trouble from 85 to 88 is off the charts.
A Payroll to Meet, I believe, was the book.
Dude. Well,
it was the Wild West.
I mean, every one of those programs had a checkbook that you could not imagine.
You find me a story that's as bonkers as 11 people from the student body trying to tackle Eric Metcalf repeatedly on kickoffs.
From the band!
That's insane.
The band! That we're instill toughness and discipline. The band!
Not only in big-time college football, but good enough to win their conference three straight years.
Yes. It's unreal, dude.
I couldn't believe it.
All right, good stuff. That's what he likes about Texas. All right, we got a game tonight that kicks off in about 12 hours, I think. Mavs, Clips, next.